Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And today we're going to begin to look at the prophet Daniel. Technically, he's referred to as a minor prophet. But some of you will know that that doesn't mean minor in the sense of a lesser or insignificant prophet. It's very simply to do with the length of the prophecy. However, in Daniel's case, compared to other so-called minor prophets, he's got quite a lot to say. One of the things that's particularly significant and interesting is that he finds himself living at a time when God's people have been overrun by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. They came to Jerusalem, they besieged it, and they carried off lots of articles from the temple, and they also carried off a number of people, including young men who were taken out of their land and they were placed in Babylon. This would seem a particularly grim and strong punishment. It's bad enough to be imprisoned in your own land, but to be taken to another land, to another place, totally unfamiliar surroundings, would have been quite devastating. But it seems that among the young men, there were those who had a very real heart for God. And Daniel was one of them. His three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they also had a tremendous heart for God, tremendous heart for trusting God and believing that the purposes of God for their lives would still be worked out, even though, in terms of what had happened to them, it just seemed hopeless. But God would work his purpose out. Now, what happened was that the king ordered one of his chief officials to get some of these young men and to look after them, give them to some degree better treatment. But what's in the king's mind is simply, well, I've got these slaves, and among them there may be those whose skills and talents can be really useful in building my kingdom and coming under my rule. And that's what he has in mind. Now, of course, God has got his purposes, which are going to transcend even great King Nebuchadnezzar. One of the things that the king orders is that the young men who've been set aside for this particular task of receiving some training and help so that their skills can be available to the kingdom, they are going to be given a different diet to the other slaves. This was simply because, as far as the king was concerned, if he kept them fit and well, he'd be able to use them more. So, although it appeared to be a favoured position, the upshot, what was behind it, was all to get the most out of these people as possible. When Daniel hears about this, he's very unhappy. He doesn't want this special treatment, and it seems right from the beginning that he gains the favour of the chief official. There's just something about Daniel, about his life, about his demeanour, that really touches the official and gives him a sense that Daniel can be trusted. He's not like the other slaves. He can be trusted. He can be looked after. And Daniel says, look, I don't want this special food. Just give me ordinary food. And look, after 10 days, have a look at us. Have a look at me. Have a look at the other people who are taking the same stance as I am. And you will see that we're fine. We're doing well. At the end of the 10 days, we're told they looked healthier and better than any of the other young men. They had great knowledge, understanding of all kinds of literature. Daniel could understand visions and dreams. God was working his purpose out. Well, we need to leave it there to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me, and we'll have another little look at the emergence of these young men under a cruel dictatorship. Thank you.
still say, you stayed right by my side, never turned away. So thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I thank you. Oh, 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 oh. You saw my broken heart and eyes that could not see, but in my darkest hour you were there to comfort me. In a moment filled with grace, I was torn from my mistakes. Now ransomed, I am free, and your goodness follows me. So thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I thank you, thank you. I thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, with all of my heart. I thank you. Oh, 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 oh.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to look further with Richard at this first chapter of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. Richard, just looking through these early verses of this chapter, this was a terrible time for the people of Judah, that the temple had been basically invaded and besieged, and stuff had been taken out.
Well, that's right. The temple was a symbol of God's presence and God's favour. To sort of see the temple in ruins would have very much been demoralising, and would even give them the sense God's abandoned us. He doesn't care anymore. He's left us. That's not the case, but that's undoubtedly what they thought.
Yeah. And just looking at verse 3 and 4, Daniel and his companions weren't just anybody. It seems they were nobles. They were from the royal family, quite important people in the land at that time.
Yes, they did have some position, and it's odd in a way how even someone like Nebuchadnezzar, a fairly ruthless dictator, he seemed to have some respect for people who had some sort of position, as it were, in the regime that he conquered. So he he was prepared to treat them differently. They'd still be slaves, but he was prepared to have a different attitude because of respecting where they had been placed.
Mm. And I suppose this desire that they had not to eat the food that they were given, at one level, it was them making a protest about what had happened and, you know, why should this have happened and why should we submit to this treatment?
Yes, I think it was probably also linked with the fact that Nebuchadnezzar would not have been a worshipper and a believer in the God of Israel.
No.
And therefore, the sort of food that they would be eating, the drink they'd be partaking of, undoubtedly was fairly mingled with idol worship and idolatry and things like that. And I think this is what makes Daniel speak up and feel uncomfortable. He understands that they've been conquered, but he's not prepared for his God to be compromised, even though he's one of a conquered people.
It's interesting, isn't it, that this story, the book of Daniel, comes kind of in the middle of the Old Testament as it does. And I'm just thinking of its point in history. Daniel has a very clear sense of who God is and of his worship of God, even though we don't know presumably anything about his own personal background. He knows who God is and he fears God.
Well, that's right. And that is his strength. And that's what he proves humbly. He proves that by not having the diet that the king wants him to have, God strengthens him. God sustains him. And he had faith that God would do that. And that was a real act of faith. Because goodness knows what else he was eating.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't a very good diet,
no,
humanly speaking. But it was the principle. I'm going to obey God. I'm not giving in to idols. I'm going to be faithful to my God. And God clearly honoured that.
And I would suspect that the fact that they came out looking healthier than the others on this restricted diet probably tells us more about God than it does about the type of food they were eating.
Yes, indeed. The Lord sustained them and he helped them. And when we obey God, it's not about our physical circumstances. It's not about what sort of economic situation we're living in. If we're faithful to God, he will be faithful to us and he'll see us through.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the story of Daniel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.